Doesn't get much better starting with a baptism, right, Casey? All right, amen. So I'm about to show just how old I am. You know, only a couple people will get this. Some of my classmates or in my ear, you know, some people were here. Millie Vanilli. Anybody? Millie? Okay. All right. I don't want to sing the song. Okay. Girl, you know it's true. Okay, I did it anyway. All right. I love you. Anyway, yeah, that was a special today. So they had everybody fooled. I mean, they were big time. I mean, I'm talking their album went straight to the top. Man, everybody's like, man, these guys are so good, Mr. Tommy. Except they weren't singing. All right, they were lip syncing. Somebody else was singing, and they were just lip syncing. But you know what's funny is I actually did a little bit of research and found out that didn't happen just in the 80s and 90s. Okay. In fact, Beyonce, okay, who's very good, obviously, she lip synced the national anthem for the presidential inauguration in 2013. Anybody know that? Okay, so y'all do know. Okay. Other artists have done the same thing. Everybody from Mariah Carey, great, to Katy Perry, to Selena Gomez, they all got caught lip syncing. And so I have a picture I want to share with you. Kaylin's going to work it in the back. She's doing great. So that's called a furry trout. You believe it, Mr. Hugh? You think that's real? That's real, right, Mr. Hugh? Yeah, that's real. When a Wisconsin, truth thing, this really happened. When a Wisconsin fisherman posted a furry trout photo to a news website in 2015, some readers fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Sorry. Boo. All right. The investigative website Snopes, which I'm sure some of y'all know about, it fact-checked it and determined trout don't actually wear fur coats. Thank you for clearing that up for us, Snopes. And the truth hasn't stopped museums from mounting the magical creatures on the walls throughout history, actually. In the 1930s, Colorado's Salida Museum was duped by a Chamber of Commerce rep who invented three furry trout and a scientist dedicated to studying the cold water phenomenon. Brad, okay, all right. The Royal Museum of Scotland proudly displayed its furry fish in the 1950s until a Canadian taxidermist admitted wrapping it in rabbit fur. All right. But has there ever been a time, you know, maybe not anything as obvious as a furry trout or Milli Vanilli or whatever, but has there been a time whenever maybe you believed something that turned out to be a lie, or you found something? I mean, you always believed in this about that person, and then you found out. The person's not the same as I thought. Well, something quite significant happened over 2,000 years ago. Amen? All right. And there have been some doubts, and currently are people who doubt it, and they want to use all this stuff and to try to prove their claims. But I want to go to what I read, one verse I read earlier, Luke chapter 24, verse 5. It says, so the women, so again, to set this up, the women had come, you know, to put spices and all on Jesus' body. And then it says this, so the women were terrified when they walked in and bowed down to the ground. And then the angel, the men said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? All right, you know, but I want to switch this up a little bit today and ask the question, do you truly believe what we're celebrating today? Do you truly believe it? I want to kind of change it up. And the idea is, do you seek the living or the dead? Which one do you seek today? All right. So if you go in your mind and you look into the tomb, are you expecting somebody who is dead, or are you expecting somebody who is living? Okay. Because the resurrection changes everything, does it not? All right, the resurrection changes everything. Because here's the deal, it happened. It really did. Now, it was not and is not a hoax like lip syncing or furry trouts. Okay? But I'm going to ask you again, do you believe it? Because ultimately, you have to make that decision. Okay? Right, Brother Tommy? I can't make the decision for you. Your parents can't make the decision for you. You have to make that decision. Casey made that decision, and he represented that today by saying, hey, I'm on God's team. Amen. But the question is, do you truly believe it? And so I like, while I'm taking that little that section there of what was said earlier in Luke 24, verse 5, I'm kind of changing it a little bit. And I'm asking you to say, are you seeking the living or are you seeking the dead? Because in this situation, I hope that you're seeking something living. That you go in there, you know Jesus ain't there anymore. Okay, so that's where we're going to take it today, kind of twist it a little bit. So, and here's the central statement for those who might be taking notes. If we seek the dead, all right, among that empty tomb, all right, we will get death. You'll get exactly what you're looking for. All right? If we seek the living, we will get life. So wow, you know, it's pretty simple for a simple guy. You heard me say that before. It's a good thing I'm not a rocket scientist. Okay, amen. Okay, I sure am glad that it wasn't that for someone like me. Okay, and yes, the resurrection does change everything, but it won't change everything for you if you don't seek the living. Okay. So, okay, if we seek the dead, for those who take notes, the following is also dead. And it's three words, start with the letter F, and this is going to let me keep my Baptist preaching card for another week because it's the only time today, Mr. Lawrence. All right, but faith, forgiveness, and your future is dead. If you don't believe in the resurrection, without the resurrection, so the first point, without the resurrection, our faith is dead. If it didn't happen, or if you don't believe it happened, okay, there's no faith. All right, let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. So is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. See? If it's all, there's no faith, there's nothing to it, right? So for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, what does it say? Your faith is worthless. Your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our faith in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Now we should get lots of pity, okay, for it. See, if we seek the dead, all right, we don't believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is dead. Let me point out a couple of scriptures, which I'm sure some of y'all, all y'all in here are bright, a whole lot brighter than I am. Amen. But and y'all probably notice it, but let me pull it out. Okay, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is vain, and so is your faith. So is your faith. And then, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your what? Faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. See, without the resurrection, Paul says our faith is in vain. It's useless. It's futile. It's hevel, if we really want to say that word, back with Solomon, right, in Ecclesiastes. It's worthless. What's the point? See, if Christ wasn't raised, the witness of the resurrection gave false testimonies, and there's no basis for their faith. We are no better than fiddlers of furry trout. Okay? If he hasn't been raised, right? Our religion is just like every other religion. And if that's the case, then Oprah's right. Those who know I'm talking about there, Oprah Winfrey. Okay? All right? See, we believe that all roads lead to heaven. Okay? And so, again, the question is, each time, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Number two, all right, in the first part, and looking at this idea that if we seek the dead, if we go there and we're like, hey, there's a dead body still there, and he wasn't raised, okay, without the resurrection, forgiveness of sins is dead. Forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Listen, you are still in your sins. You're still in your sins. Reminds me of a young boy in Korea. He was a houseboy for some American soldiers. Sometimes they thought it was funny to play little jokes on him. Okay, and they would tease him. They would tie his shoestrings together. They would lock him out of the house, and you know they thought he was forgiving them, right? And eventually, they realized that their practical jokes were not viewed as funny by the boys. So they apologized, and he replied, "That's okay. I will stop spitting in your soup now." All right, okay. So we have a little boy who while it may have appeared that little boy had forgiven him. He was getting them. He was getting them back. Okay. He hadn't really. Speaking of that, we're always, you know, when we teach high school, we're always a little bit nervous when we go to a fast food restaurant and somebody, one of our students works there. We're like, please don't spit on our food. All right. Hopefully they never done that. All right. But anyway, some of you teachers know what I'm talking about. Amen. Okay. So again, if Christ has not been raised, then his death did not pay for our sin. like we as Christians believe, right? And there, again, is no hope for life with God in heaven. Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Trespasses means sin. Sin. So he was delivered up for our, he was delivered to the cross for our sins. He paid for our sins for our justification, which got, being too preachy just means just as if I've never sinned. Okay, but again, if we don't believe it, if the resurrection didn't happen, Brad, right? Then we have no faith, okay? And we're still in our sin. We have no forgiveness. Both of those are dead, okay? And number three, without the resurrection, our future is dead. Look in verses 18 and 19. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. Those who have died before, right? Or Jesus comes back in the future, whatever it may be, right? If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. See, those who died before us are lost and without hope. Kevin Riggs says, without hope for the future, there is no meaning for today. Y'all agree with that? Right? We should be pitied more than anyone, it says. More than anyone. Okay? More than the peddlers of furry trout. Okay? We may as well live like everyone else because everything is temporary. So let's just go ahead and get ours. Let's go ahead and enjoy sin and pleasure because there's no hope anyway. Right? What a hopeless existence. In his autobiographical account, a Song of Accents, famous missionary Dr. E. Stanley Jones tells about a layman, a newspaperman, a mutual friend who was called upon to conduct a funeral service. Being an exact man, he wanted to do it properly and in the best Christian tradition. So he turned to the New Testament as original source as an example of how Jesus conducted the funeral. You know what he found? He found that Jesus didn't conduct funerals at all. All he dealt with were resurrections. Amen? All right. See, again, the question is, do you believe it? You know, do you believe it? And you know, what are you seeking? Because again, if we seek the dead among that empty tomb, if we don't believe it, there's no resurrection, we will get death. We'll get, and there'll be death to our faith, our forgiveness and sins, and our future. Dead. Doesn't exist anymore. If we seek the living, however, we'll get life. Okay? And while these are not starting with the same letter, all right, I want you to stay with me today. Okay? I read an article just yesterday of some points as far as, you know, preachers preaching on Easter and how it can be tough. You know, one of them was, you know, try to come up with new material and all this, you know. But what I like the most about it says, read the scripture. Okay? The story is the same. Amen. And it should be in our hearts. Let me preach for a second. That should be something that if it's not, if it doesn't capture your heart today, then I would question. I would really look into myself and ask why not. Okay? Right, Brother Tommy? All right. It's because the fact is, a man died on a cross for our sins, and 3 days later, come out of that tomb. Amen. He ain't there anymore. Okay? He's not there anymore. Muhammad's body is still in the grave. Okay. Joseph Smith's body is still in the grave. Okay? Jesus Christ's body is not. Okay. It's gone. Amen. All right. And the fact that a man just conquered sin and Satan and death and the grave, amen, is an amazing thing to talk about today. All right. I'm so grateful that I get to do that here today. So if we seek the living, if that's what we expect, so we come to church, we know it. Okay. Here are the things that we will get. Okay. We will get life expressed in the following ways: eternal life. And this is not an all-encompassing list. And, you know, trying to stay to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians. Okay. But eternal life, no fear, joy, hope, and telling others. So let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15. 20-22. Okay, I only have till about 12. So, all right. Sorry, I had to do it. We have new people who haven't been here. We have people who are visiting. I had to say it. Okay. All right. Sorry, Brother Tommy. All right. But as it is, okay, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Okay. So when we talked about it, what, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? Okay, we talked about Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden. And from that moment on, sin was in our world. Okay, through one man, everybody sinned. Okay? And it's funny, you know, we like to think, oh, those little babies are cute, you know. Oh man, that one's a beautiful baby back there. The one right here is beautiful, right? But you know, they're also selfish, okay? You're like, I can't believe you said that, right? But it's the truth. We are born into that sin, okay? You don't have the first words are normally not mom or dad. It's mine, Mine, you know. So, all right. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry to break your heart today. All right, but, okay, that's the truth. All right. So because of the resurrection, we have eternal life. Read with me another account of this amazing morning. Again, I just like to feel, especially a day like today, I want you to listen to the scripture, to the word of God. Matthew 28, 1 through 8. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him, they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." We can probably stop right there. All right, go ahead, brother. I got food to eat. All right. We probably stop right there. He is not here. Okay? For he has risen. Amen. All right. Just as he said, he is risen indeed. Okay. Because find my place. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I've told you so desperately. So departing quickly from the tomb, I can't read, sorry, with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. If his body is not there, then he must be alive. Amen. Right. He's going to appear to a lot of people, by the way. Hundreds. Okay? We don't speak about that very often, but it's truth. Read your scripture. They could have, listen, they could have not stolen his body, okay, by the way. All right, look at the previous verses. So let's go back to the previous chapter, chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. The next day, which followed the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate, and said, "Sir, remember that while this deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days, I'll rise again.' So give orders that a tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come, steal him, and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. You have a guard of soldiers," Pilate told him. "Go and make it as secure as you know how." They went and secured the tomb by setting a steel on the stone and placing the guards. So some people will say that. Oh, they stole, you know, those disciples stole the body. Wait, you mean the same disciples that ran scared? All right, with the head between their tails? All right, all of that, leg, whatever you call it. Like, I don't even know the description. But, I mean, I just messed that up. I did. I don't know. All right. But anyway, get a laugh out of it. I think you get the point. Those same, you mean Peter, the one who denied them 3 times? Yeah, that one. All right. Yeah, all those, you know, these they just ran away. All right, because it says in the Word, we looked at last week, that all of them did. It wasn't just Peter. All right. They all did. So we're supposed to believe that all of a sudden they went in there and challenged a bunch of big old strong soldiers, all right, with weapons. Right, Brother Steve? We're supposed to believe that. And they beat them up or something? Like, I mean, they're still, I don't know how. They just took the body out. It's ridiculous. Okay? We're going to look at some more stuff in a minute. Jesus defeated Satan, sin, the grave, and death. Here, let me get a little more information. That stone would have probably weighed from about 1 to 2 tons. And now we really think they would have done that. Yeah, that's been working out, Mr. Tommy. All right. They'd be going over to Planet Fitness with Aaron. Getting after it. So not to mention, and I know some of you know this, but I'm going to, you know, it doesn't make it any less true. Not to mention, a woman's testimony back during that time was considered inadmissible in a court of law. Okay? So the fact that women first discovered Jesus' empty tomb is an indicator that the gospel writers, they weren't making that up. Right? Why would they? If you were making something up, wouldn't you make it the best possible? Right, Miss Donna, you're an English teacher. Make it the best possible, man. No, a bunch of women. I love women. Yeah, I love my wife. I'm not saying anything. Back then, it would have meant nothing. Okay? Why would you use the testimony from a woman? That's what they did. Because it's not made up. Because it happened. If they were making this up again, why would they have women be so important? Nobody would have taken that seriously. In addition, how would you explain the fact that these early followers, again, dedicated their lives to the fact that they believed that Jesus really did arise from the grave? Okay? And these people went from hiding in rooms, all right, and hiding and running away to shouting it on the rooftops. How do you explain that? Because the resurrection changes everything. That's how you explain it. These same people we talked about earlier, when I messed up the whole expression, they ran away. All right, they come back, and they're going to be bold followers of Christ, and they're going to be preaching boldly the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, and many of them will die for the cause of Christ. Okay. What changed it? Jesus' body ain't there anymore. That's why I changed it. Okay. I mean, I don't even have this in my notes, but can we, just for a second, okay, just for a moment. James. Y'all know who James is? James, brother of Jesus. All right, just remove all that. Would you believe your brother or sister, okay, if they said, Anson, would you believe it? Would you believe that if your brother and sister said that he died and he rose again, would you believe it? You'd be like, man, you're crazy. Oh, James was a fervent believer. Read the book of Jesus Christ. Okay? Right? He know it happened. That's his brother. Right? And most times we're very, very like, yeah, very doubtful about our own flesh and blood, right? That's just another thing to look at. Okay? It changes everything. Warren Wiersbe says, the stone was not rolled away to permit Jesus to come out, for he had already left the tomb. Amen? He goes on to say, it was rolled back so that people could see for themselves that the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. See for yourself, the tomb is empty, and believe it. Seek the living. Don't seek a dead body. He's not there. According to William J. Bosch, in the Greek Orthodox tradition, the day after Easter was devoted to telling jokes. I love that because my jokes are awesome. Ah! Okay. All right. I'm looking for an amen. All right. The idea there, in all seriousness, the idea was that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God was playing a great cosmic joke on the devil. In devoting this Monday after Easter to joke telling, they were reveling in the fact that on Easter Sunday, God had the last word. Joke's on you, Satan. He ain't there anymore. Woo! All right. If I start sending some bad dad jokes on a group text tomorrow, you know why. Okay. All right. Okay. Number two. I may actually do that. I don't know. I'm on spring break. I have more time. All right. All right. Number two. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to spend a lot of great deal of time on this, guys. But I want to you see that it's in here. Matthew 28, verse 5. So we look kind of at that text for now. Matthew 28. The angel told the women, don't be afraid because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. See, we talked about this last week. Fear can cripple. Okay. Fear and anxiety. I mean, gosh, remember the boogeyman growing up? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so scared of that thing. All right. See, many people are dominated by fear and anxiety, by worry. Anxiety disorders are huge in America and on the rise. Right. It is a real problem in our world today. Right, you know, loneliness and depression and mental health and all that. And I know that's a big thing, guys. I think I've told you before, I actually used to teach youth mental health. Okay, should go around and teach teachers about it. Right, had to break away from that because of some of the last few things that I didn't like that didn't line up the way I believe. Right, but what I really want to tell them was, look, you're going to have issues. Yes, we all struggle with different things, but Jesus Christ is the answer. It doesn't mean all your fears are going to go away. Right. But he's going to give you hope and he's going to give you peace. Right? Karl Barth says, the Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin, the curse, and death are beaten. Ultimately, they can no longer start mischief. They still believe as though the game were not decided, the battle were not fought. We must still reckon with them, but fundamentally, we must cease to fear them anymore. Number three. Because of the resurrection, we can have joy. Amen. All right, I just want to read just that middle part, with fear and great joy in verse 28. Okay? Can you imagine what it must have been like to see that the tomb was empty? Can you put yourself in that situation, all right, with the ladies? I mean, like, wait, well, where is his body? Where is he? Wait, did somebody, what happened? Where's Jesus' body? He was right here. Right? I've heard sermons of people who have been there in real life in Israel, okay? And guess what they say? His body ain't there. Same thing we believe, right? I mean, look, again, like I said earlier, Muhammad's body's in the grave, right? Joseph Smith's body's in the grave, and anything else that you want, any other person that you want to say that's not connected to Jesus Christ, right? Evangelist Gypsy Smith used to say, I've never lost the wonder. And that's something I want to plead with you, because I realize that the majority of the people in here, probably everybody in here, I don't know, all right, you have a relationship with Christ, and you're here, and you come to worship God. And so my encouragement to you is, don't lose the wonder. Don't, you know, be amazed, all right? Be amazed by it, okay? I'd say, you know, Casey, your hug about made me cry, okay? Because it's real. I could feel it, right? Don't lose that wonder, right? May we never lose the wonder of this. Have you lost the wonder? Listen, Jesus Christ, the tomb is empty. He is risen. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? All right. I actually asked for one this time because this ain't about me. It happened. Hallelujah. Don't lose the wonder. Okay. Reminds me of Mark Twain. All right. Great writer. Right. Okay. A fan once startled Mark Twain by telling him, "I wish I'd never read Huckleberry Finn." To which, with a scowl, Mark Twain asked the reason, "Why would you say that?" And then the man said, "So that I could have the pleasure again of reading it for the first time." Like, what about you? Examine yourself. Ask yourself. Read it for the first time. Look into that tomb for the first time. See, joy doesn't mean we'll always be happy. Okay? Right? But you have a contentment that nothing else can match, that nothing else can provide, only Jesus Christ. Okay? Oh, some other things can help for a short time, you know. But lasting joy comes through Jesus Christ. And even when there might be pain and sorrow, what does the Scripture say? There's joy in the morning. There's joy in the morning. Because of this resurrection, we have hope. I can tell you, as a basketball coach, I have a couple of former players in the house this morning, which is awesome. All right, I can tell you from personal experience, it was a lot more difficult to coach teams, and I don't think these two guys were on teams like this, so y'all probably can't relate. But when I had teams who had no hope, all right, we struggled. Right? You know, we aren't going to go to playoffs. All right? I had a couple teams like that. I did. I can tell you it's really hard to go to practice every day. All right? It's a lot more difficult. It's a lot more easy to go to practice when you're on a winning team and you got a chance. Okay? It's just nature. Because we had hope. All right? We might be able to go to state. Right, Brad? All right? We have something to look forward to. Right, look in verse 7. "Then go quickly and tell disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." Listen, I've told you, right? He has risen. Life without hope, man, that's tough. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II says, "Do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." Hear what he said again? "We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." Is hallelujah your song today? It should be if you have Christ as your Savior, because we have hope, because the resurrection, because we look into the tomb and we seek the living, because we're not, he ain't there. Right? But with hope, whew, what a glorious day it will be. Right? How many people love that hymn? I'm not going to sing it today. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. All right. But I'll read some of it to you. "There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness and no more pain. No more parting over there. But forever I will be with the one who died for me." What a day, glorious day that will be. Right, Brother Tommy? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. Next point. Because of the resurrection, we should tell others. See, we are getting pretty close. I'm going to do good today, y'all. All right? Making up for last week. Okay? Amen. All right. Matthew 28, verse 8. "So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news." Again, these ladies, who no one would have, their testimony wouldn't even be admissible in court. Okay? They were going to tell them, "Hey, guess what? Jesus is alive." All right? Easter, oh, I love this, man. Whew, somebody ought to say amen for this one, but it's not my point. I got to give credit to Zoo. Warren Wiersbe says, "Easter is the truth that turns a church from a museum into a ministry." Easter is the truth that turns a church from a museum into a ministry. I mean, I like museums. Anybody like museums? I like looking at stuff like that. Good. All those old things, I felt like a museum trying to play basketball the other day. All right. So, look at that old man. He ain't even moving. Oh, he think he moving fast. He ain't moving fast. Right? We have something to offer the world. The good news that Jesus Christ is alive. By the way, in May, we still want to do a little visiting. I feel like the church does a really good job of coming up with tools. The three circles is one that the Baptist Church is currently supporting. It's really good. Really good. Okay? But there's others, right? Four spiritual laws, Romans Road, right? and people get intimidated, and even I do because I'm a human. But when you get a little scared when you're talking to somebody about Christ, man, Jesus' body is not there anymore. Okay, and all you got to do is tell them your story. How did God change you? Yeah, they can't debate that. Okay, they can't debate that. I love this as well, man. Warren Wiersbe also says, come and see was followed by go and tell. Isn't that great? Like, I can't make that up. I got to get credit. Come and see, now go and tell. So come and see. We come and see every day, hopefully not just on Sundays. All right, amen. Hopefully you're coming and seeing every day. All right, and you're looking at the goodness of God. It's something that we say a lot from this pulpit, man. Get in this word, read the Bible, pray every day. 5 minutes, better than nothing. Okay? Come and see every day, and then go and tell somebody. Are we a museum? That's my question. Are we a museum or are we a ministry? We are not furry trout peddlers. Should I show that picture again? It's ridiculous. Some of y'all are like, I would never want to see that again. All right? Come and see. Now go and tell. If we seek the dead among the empty tomb, we're going to get death. We're going to get exactly what we look for. Okay. So again, the question is, what do you believe? Because if we seek living, we're going to get life and all these wonderful things that we talked about. All right? Hope and joy and a home in heaven and eternal life, and now we should go tell others. So as we close today, does anybody remember? Maybe it's just us. Maybe it's just us as older people. I don't know. I'm sure some of those of you remember doing this, but y'all remember like you're playing with your buds, your friends growing up, or you're outside and all that, and you get kind of mad at each other, and you're like, just draw a line in the sand. You're like, cross that, Anson. All right. And then they do, if he's bigger than you, then you say, draw another one. I'm just playing. but with all seriousness though, we draw a line in the sand, right? All right. And the idea here today is, you dare somebody to cross it. But here's the idea. You need to draw a line in the sand, okay? Or better yet, in the blood of Christ. Okay? So you need to make a decision. Okay? Some people stand on the fence. And they're neither hot nor cold, right? Right, Brother Tommy, they talk about that in Revelation, Church of Laodicea, and the people. They're hot and they're cold. They're neither hot nor cold. They're just kind of lukewarm, right? See, people don't want to talk about the blood, but without the blood, there is no resurrection. Amen? We mentioned that last week. There's no Easter. Draw your line today. Make a stand. You either believe Jesus is who he says he is, or you don't. Okay? So you either go to the tomb expecting there to be dead body like all every other time, or you go and you're like, he ain't there anymore. I believe it. Amen. Maybe you just got to, you really didn't know. And then today you're like, I believe that. I believe that. Okay? I hope so. Because Jesus, here's the deal. Jesus, and I know I'm getting kind of like off a little bit onto some other things, but I just feel like God wanted me to share this today. Because Jesus did not leave this up for debate. What do you mean, Patrick? Well, a lot of people say Jesus, they don't believe that he's their Savior, that he died on a cross and rose from the grave, but they believe he's a good guy, right? He was a good teacher. Y'all heard it before. Come on, haven't you? All right. Oh, he's a good guy. I believe he's a good guy. Yeah. See, Jesus didn't leave that up for debate. That's not an option. Because, see, if he's a liar, like those hoax mentioned earlier today, all right, then he was a lunatic for going through the pain he endured for a lie. I'm going to read to you one little part here by C.S. Lewis, and then I'm going to add just a little bit, but we really are close to being done, but I want you to stay with me. All right. He says this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. Okay? They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept this claim to be God. See, that is the one thing we must not say. He goes on to say, a man was not merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said not to be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. See, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about this being a great human teacher. He has not left that open for us. He did not intend to. He didn't. Because again, he, you know, I read Josh McDowell, I think is his name, More Than a Carpenter. You should read that book, by the way. It's real short. Okay, even somebody like I can read it. All right. Amen. All right, thank you. All right, I'm just playing. All right, but no, seriously, it's not a tough read. More Than a Carpenter, look it up. Okay, that's my favorite chapter is Lord Liar Lunatic. Either he did what he said he was going to do, because he told his disciples, and he told it's in the Word. All right, he was going to do this. What's going to happen? Okay, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm gonna rise from the dead. Either he is who he says he is, which is Lord, or he lied about it. And if he lied about something that wasn't the truth, that makes him crazy or a lunatic, right? Okay, so either he is who he says he is, or he's not. I want to end here with this. Matthew 28, 11 through 15 says, as they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders and agreed on a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money and told them, say this, his disciples came during the night and stole him while he was sleeping. While we were sleeping. If this reaches the governor's ears, we will deal with him and keep you out of trouble. They took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been spread among Jewish people to this day. What story? A lie. They tried to discredit Jesus. It's right there. As early as like right after he arose from the grave, they're like, oh, we gotta cover this up. Right? There's a cover up right there. Okay? Because people already tried to discredit Jesus. Right? So again, people are still doing that today because they've made their choice. Well, this house, that house is built on sand. You know what happened to that house, right? That's a whole other sermon. We don't have time today. Amen. Okay. So as we end today, I ask Mr. Lawrence to sadly come up. The French mathematician, Auguste Comte, okay, C-O-M-T, he was talking about religion one day with the Scottish essayist Thomas Carlyle. Sounds like really smart people, right? I probably wouldn't be in that conversation. But Comte suggested they start a new religion to replace Christianity based on positive thinking and mathematical principles. Sounds like a plan. Carlyle thought about it for a moment, and he replied, very good, Mr. Comte, very good. All you will need to do will be to speak as never a man spoke and live as never a man lived and be crucified and rise again the third day and get the world to believe that you are still alive. Then your religion will have a chance to get on. Why? Because that's exactly what happened. Okay? Now you need to make a choice today. Are you seeking the dead or are you seeking the living? I hope that you are seeking the living. You believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross all those many years ago. I'm going to say it again. He died all those years ago. And we make it so difficult when all we need to say is, you know what? I can't make it to heaven on my own. I'm a simple human being. All right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. All right? There's this great chasm between us and God that we could never cross. But God sent his son, Jesus, to bridge that gap. To bridge the gap, said, you know what? I'll go for him. I'll die for him. Remember last week, we talked about all that he suffered through for us. Right? I'll do that for these sinful people. Right? And then on top of that, I'm going to get up out of that grave on the third day. That's exactly what happened. Right? Again, you either believe it, and if you believe that happened, you say, God, I trust in what you did. I don't understand it all. All right, it's above my head, some of this, but I still accept it. And what happened on the cross counts for me. That's salvation. Okay? You believe in your heart that Jesus is God, that God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth. The Bible says you're saved. Amen. So I want to encourage you to make that decision today. If you never have, you can talk to me after the service as well. I'll be glad to talk to you. All right, thank y'all for being here. Love you guys. All right, we're going to have Sally lead us in a song.
Let's all stand and sing hymn 320. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
appreciate it. So we'll be homework this week, okay? So we'll go back into the Unfolding Grace series that we're doing. I think it's Genesis 4. I'll send it to you this week on top of all the jokes I'm sending tomorrow. I'm just wondering. All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of celebration. We thank you that we can celebrate Casey's public proclamation of this faith. We thank you for the joy that we feel at this time of the year. And that joy springs from the hope of our eternity with Jesus through the resurrection. As we go out, let our lives reflect that hope in such a way that others will be drawn to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.